Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Chicago will make maritime history with Lake Michigan chosen as the first freshwater venue to host America's Cup racing in the event's 165-year history. The Louis Vuitton America's Cup World Series Chicago qualifying event for the 2017 America's Cup in Bermuda will take place this coming weekend on June 10th through the 12th at Navy Pier. Now, six teams will be competing for the Cup, including USA, Sweden, Great Britain, Japan, France, and New Zealand. And Navy Pier will be the epicenter of the event. Coverage can be seen live on the NBC Sports Network. And joining us to break it all down and talk about what it takes to get ready for this historic event is America Cup's director, and that is Todd Reynolds. Good morning to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you first, because I think there's not a lot of Chicagoans that really understand how cool this is, that this event is taking place in Chicago. What is the history, first of all, of America's Cup?
Yeah, so 165 years old, and it's a challenge trophy. It actually started back in Great Britain at the World's Fair, and it was the yacht America went over and took on the best of the British Navy. And this little scrappy country at the time beat all the best of the British fleet around the Isle of Wight. The Queen was sitting there, and she said, "Sir, who was second?" And they said, "Ma'am, there is no second." And there we had the America's Cup.
Wow, that's very cool. And then how often is the America's Cup race run? Is there a regular schedule to speak of?
It's not. It's a little unique. There's no IOC. There's no FIFA. It's if you win the America's Cup, you make the rules. You set where it's going to be held. You set when it's going to be held. You set what boats it's going to be, what the rules are going to be sailed under. And then somebody has to come and challenge you and say, you know what? I think I have a shot at winning it. I think I have a shot at taking it off of them. I'm going to invest in this, and I'm going to try to go win the America's Cup.
Now, there were some gaps in between, too, right from the beginning when the Brits took almost 20 years to challenge to take back the Cup. And then there was another 20 typically in sporting events like during the World War I's, World War II's, and so forth as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we're into the 35th America's Cup, 165 years old. So, yeah, obviously a couple gaps in there.
When racing, are all of America's Cup boats pretty much the same, or how does that all work?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back over history, right, these boats have gone from 100-foot-long monohulls, so one hull, kind of what you would see in most of these harbors, to the point where we're now sailing wing-sailed, foiling multi-hulls. So these are unlike anything you've ever seen before. There's two actually different boats that are used in the America's Cup right now. The ones that we're going to have here in Chicago are what they call AC-45Fs. So these are one-design boats. Every team has the exact same equipment. These boats all pack up into 40-foot shipping containers. They go all around the world.
Wow.
And ultimately it means who has the best sailors on the boat. Right, it doesn't matter who has the fastest boat because they're all the exact same. So that's phase one.
So I think that makes it fair.
It's really interesting, yeah. Right? Phase one of qualifying is that we're ultimately working to pick who is going to be the top challenger to take on Team USA, try to win the America's Cup, and bring it back home.
Wow,
those boats are going to be a little bit bigger, 50 feet long, and they're a little bit more open. So the teams actually have teams of engineers and designers and physicists back at their home bases trying to build the best weapon, trying to build the fastest boat.
And then it all kind of happens, the finals in 2017, next year in Bermuda.
Exactly.
Now, overall ranking position, the series determines the starting points, score of the teams in the America Cup's qualifiers. So it's really about, you know, as you're hitting all these smaller events leading up to it, it's whoever has the most points.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, there are many reasons why Lake Michigan was chosen to be the first freshwater venue. You made that happen to host the America's Cup here. So why did that all come about?
Yeah, there's a big team behind this event. Ultimately, we are on the board of the Chicago Sports Commission, the organization that brings things like the NFL draft and the rugby games and now the America's Cup to Chicago. Our expertise is sailing events. And so I work for an individual, Don Wilson, who's the chairman of the event. He's a Chicago, passionate Chicago guy, passionate Chicago businessman, and a sailor himself. And he's the one that really had the vision to bring this event to Chicago. And then I had to go out and figure out how to make it all happen.
Get some sponsors and get all that going.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces behind hosting America's Cup. Number one for us is Navy Pier. Navy Pier is a fantastic partner for this event.
And 100 years old this year, so it's a great celebration to have there.
Great synergy, right?
Yeah.
And for it, it's so unique because it's such a turnkey venue. Generally at these events, right, you have the public-facing side, right? Where are the fans going to watch the racing? Where is the media center going to be? And then you have the more technical side, where the boat's going to be built and launched and all that stuff. And generally, it's two separate areas, right?
Sure.
Those spaces generally don't exist together. And at Navy Pier, we have both those spaces existing as one. And so the boats are being built on the pier, and you're going to be able to watch it from the pier.
Now, we call it the Windy City, but it's mostly because of the politicians and their mouths.
Shh, okay. Don't tell anybody about that.
But there is some good wind on the lake that should really help this event along.
Yeah, I mean, my fingers are crossed. There's no engines on these boats. They are completely powered by the wind. It is a wind-dependent sport. And so what do we do about that? We try to position ourselves to be in when historically the wind is the best. And so that's why we go back and look at data and we say, okay, June is the best time to try that. But there is some risk in the event. But hopefully Chicago shines and we get some great breeze and we set some speed records out there.
Awesome. Now tell me about the three-day event. What will people expect from front to finish of this event?
Yeah, so the teams haven't actually arrived into town yet. We'll start seeing them show up over the next couple days. And they have to assemble their boats, right? They show up in 40-foot containers. They have to assemble this thing.
Wow.
Ultimately, we're going to launch them down at Navy Pier on Thursday. It's going to be pretty cool, pretty big spectacle, just getting this thing into the water.
I was going to say, so when it comes in, where is it coming from? Like, are we going to see it down the Kennedy? And on, like, how are these things coming in?
That would be pretty epic. No, the whole boat, so you might have seen some 40-foot shipping containers kind of going through, going around town, and perhaps that would have been them.
Yeah.
Pretty nondescript, though. I mean, some of them say the team name on the side and things like that. But no, the boats will be built down at Navy Pier. And then they're going to be launched right there using a big crane Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon will be the first chance the teams ever get to touch fresh water. And so that's a big question, is how do you modify your boat? Given it's one design, there's a couple little things you can tweak. Do you make any changes for that fresh water? And they have to go out and try it, right? They get basically two and a half hours to just see what it's like. Friday then, we run a full practice race. Conquer Cancer Day for us. A fantastic partner for the event. The ASCO conference is in town this week. We do the whole show on Friday, except we don't turn on the satellite truck. So still worth coming down, still worth to see the show. The Friday is actually interesting, and it's the only day that there's going to be a match racing. And so generally, the America's Cup Finals is match racing, but for round one of qualifying here, they do fleet racing, so all the boats are on the course together.
And there's different ways to watch this, too. I mean, there's different places. I mean, you got people out in the water watching this as well.
Yeah, I mean, right, our stadium is the Chicago waterfront.
Yeah.
Right? Our stadium runs essentially from Navy Pier to the planetarium. And so we have Navy Pier as the epicenter. That's the race village. That's the grandstand.
Yeah.
That is, if you want to be in the heart of the event, you want to be at Navy Pier. But it is a ticketed event. And there's different options. There's VIP options. There's grandstand options that are actually sold out. And we do have general admission. But then we also wanted to make sure there was great public viewing. And so the whole South Dock and Navy Pier, all of the waterfront down north of the island, you're going to be able to go down, have a picnic, watch the spectacle. And then we've also, I mean, if you have a private boat, there's some great charter boat options, the Odyssey, the Spirit, the Mystic Blue, hop online and get those tickets. They're going to be out positioned on the race course. Lots and lots of ways to view this course for every budget and objective.
Now, again, what are the countries represented here?
Yeah, so six teams. Team USA is the defender. They won the America's Cup in 2010. They defended in 2013. Interesting team. They are led by Jimmy Spithill, and they actually have on board Matt Cassidy, who is from Chicago. Really,
that's cool.
Yeah, really great guy. Lived here before relocating last year. And then we've got trying to take it off them is the British team. The British are led by Ben Ainslie. Behind Ben is Martin Whitmire. And Martin used to run the McLaren F1 team. Really, really impressive. They're a startup team. They're brand new. They've already built a massive base over in Portsmouth. They've built up the team. They've won some of the events. Really, really impressive to see those guys. We've got the Swedish, Artemis Racing, back for the second time. We've got the French. The French are very, very passionate in the sailing community. They really are kind of the original multi-hull experts. And so they might not have the biggest budget in any of the teams. You really can't count them out. Frank Camas is just a fantastic sailor. And some of these French designers just build the best boats. Finally, we've got the Japanese, and we've got Team New Zealand. Team New Zealand are the ones in 2013 that we saw were up 8-1 and had that gut-wrenching, heartbreaking loss.
Now, since they won in 2010, how often are all these team members, like for Oracle Team USA, how often are they together boating together and sailing together?
The teams themselves,
yeah,
they are training every single day.
Every day.
Yeah, it really, the America's Cup is a race about time in many respects. And so they're trying to build the fastest boat. In order to build the fastest boat, you got to test the different options. So they're out there testing every single day that they can. Team USA is actually based in Bermuda right now, training down there. And then it's also, these boats are so physical that the guys are in the gym every single day.
So to find more about this event, where do people go?
Yeah, hop on the website, lvacwschicago.com, or social media, Facebook, America's Cup Chicago.
All right, and Chicago and Matt Cassidy, who's on Oracle Team USA, will join us next on 720 WGN. Dave, back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking about America's Cup World Series Chicago, and now joining us is Oracle Team USA member Matt Cassidy. Matt, how are you, pal?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. What an exciting day yesterday. You got to throw out the first pitch over at Wrigley. I mean, how fun was that?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Just to see all the fans there was pretty intimidating and a little nerve-wracking, but it's awesome to throw the first pitch out.
I bet.
You know, with the best team in baseball. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, you know, I know you've traveled to the four corners of the globe competing in some of sailing's top racing circuits. An elite bowman, you've collected so many world titles, and now you've come to Oracle Team USA. What got you into racing?
I think just, you know, when I was younger, my parents put me in a sailing school, and that's kind of started the love for the sport and the passion I have for it. And you know, I've been doing it for pretty, you know, almost 30 years now, I guess, and sailing since I was 7 or 8 years old. So it's really cool to be at this level and sailing with Oracle Team USA for the America's Cup. And, you know, I could have never dreamed when I was a younger kid to be in this position now.
Yeah, and in Chicago, too, where you lived for some time. I mean, we'll call you a Chicagoan.
Yeah. I lived in Chicago for 6 years prior to moving to Bermuda last year. I was living in Chicago. My wife is from Chicago, and you know, I have a lot of friends and family here. So definitely a lot of strong ties with the city, and it's really cool to be here for the America's Cup World Series event. And I think it's going to be an awesome show next weekend.
I just want to back up and say, when you moved from Chicago to Bermuda, that does not sound like a bad deal at all.
No, Bermuda is a beautiful place. It's awesome, and if anyone gets a chance to go to Bermuda, definitely go check it out.
Now, do you remember your first race?
Yeah, I think I was probably around 10 years old. And, you know, when I first started off, I just wanted to capsize the boat and swim around. And I wasn't really into the racing. It took a couple of years for that to get going. And, yeah, my first race was up in Harbor Springs, Michigan at the sailing school. They run Friday race day. And that's where the passion started.
I was going to say, after the first race, what was the biggest thing that you learned that you said, I got to remember this for the rest of my life? What was the first thing you learned?
I think the biggest thing I learned is to have fun. You know, if you're not having fun doing it, then there's no reason to be out there. And, you know, I've been kept that motto ever since. And there isn't a day where I go to work and not a race that we do where you're not having fun. You know, sure, sometimes it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it's still a really cool experience. And you just, you know, take those lessons and try to get better for the next one.
There was a recent article in Sailing World, Matt Cassidy's Bowman Essentials, 15 Tips About Life on the Pointy End. Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about this. Number one was take notes. Tell me about that.
All right. Taking notes. Just, you know, I used to sail on a lot of different boats with a lot of different teams. So each boat has, you know, its own intricacies to it and you know, different set of, you know, procedures for doing things. So I just took notes on all the different boats I sailed on. And if I found settings or maneuvers that worked well for the particular boat, I'd write those notes down. So whenever I came back, it was a long break between sailing those kind of boats. I just go back to my notes and I, you know, everything's right there. And I know exactly what I did last time and what was successful.
Next one was stay calm. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. And, you know, just stay calm and smooth. And you see people yelling a lot on different boats and, you know, nothing's ever accomplished when you yell. So stay calm and smooth. And that kind of soothes everyone around you. It helps everyone perform better.
And then you say your first priority of doing bow is to make sure that the sails go up and down properly. I would say that would also be a good thing to do and test out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's your job as a bowman. So make sure the sails go up and down. So you want to, basically you're a behind the scenes guy, and you know, you definitely can't win the race for the team, but you can definitely lose it by having a bad maneuver. So you just want to be that guy to make sure that everything goes as flawless as possible.
Think like the afterguard. Be aware of the other boats around you.
You just want to put yourself in the tactician's position. So you're basically trying to anticipate the next move and what they're thinking. So depending on where the race course you are and where the other boats are, you can kind of, you know, guess what the next move is going to be and be prepared for it.
I think this is a good one for any sport. Develop your team within the team.
Yep. So obviously on a big boat, when you sail with, 8, 10, 12, 14 people, you have, it's not just you and your position. You have in making everything happen. You have the guys around you, your supporting guys in the different roles. So I always used to get the guys together, especially if we've never sailed together, and we just get your group together that's directly affecting my job, and make sure everyone's on the same page. So we'll go through all the different maneuvers, all the different scenarios. And so hopefully when we get to those, during the race, we get to those situations, everyone knows what's going on.
Well, and I'm looking at these too. I mean, a lot of these obviously have to do specifically with boating and racing, but so much are good life lessons and so much are good business lessons. Here's one that I like. Try other positions occasionally to get some idea of what maneuvers look like from further back in the boat. It's always good to do that. I mean, I was just thinking in my own business to make sure people are cross-trained.
Yeah, exactly. So, if I always did the bow and never did the mast position or the pitman's role or the trimmer's job, when something goes wrong and it's not necessarily my fault, it's the guys and the guys behind me, or they might have something else going on that was a bigger priority. And I think I think they're fully concentrated on what we're doing, yet they have more important jobs. So to understand what they're going through, it's good to sail in other roles to say, okay, in these situations, these guys are dealing with, a much bigger issue. And so they're prioritizing that over what we need to get done up front. So it's just really cool. So that kind of comes back to the calm thing. So once you know what everyone else is doing and what their jobs are, it helps you keep calmer around the race course.
Yeah, that you're covered. You got good partners there.
Yeah, exactly.
Debrief at the end of the day. So it's really kind of going through the good and the bad of what happens, so you can learn and study from future experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Just like every professional sports team, you see the guys, you hear talk about film study and everything. We do the same exact thing. We go through at the end of the day and go over every part of the race and just see where we can get better and try to improve, day after day, race after race. So, just like any other pro sports or in business, you go through different situations and review different tactics taken. And, I'm just always trying to get better.
Now, you have a tip on getting over jet lag because you travel a lot. So what's your – because that's a tough one. So what are your tips? Like, what has worked for you?
Basically, to get over jet lag, the easiest thing to do is when you get to your new location is, if you've done a red eye or something, you just want to take a nap immediately. And the best thing I do is just take a shower and go down to the boat.
Jump in.
And, jump in, go for a swim, just start working on the boat and just – kind of keep you busy. Go to the gym, the hotel gym, and train, and get a good meal, and then hopefully be in bed by 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Whereas if you take that afternoon nap and wake up at 6 o'clock before dinner, then you're never going to go to sleep. You'll be staring at the ceiling at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I find it interesting too because Todd mentioned in the previous conversation that you guys, this boat shows up, and it's really you guys are the last guys to touch it. And you're the last guys to open it up and start it open again. And I find that pretty fascinating because, you really have control over that boat.
Yeah, exactly. So the shore team gets here tonight, and they're flying in from Bermuda, and the rest of the sailing team. And so we pull the container doors open tomorrow and start pulling the boat out and, piecing the thing together. And it'll take about 3 days, 3 or 4 days to get the boat fully complete. And we lift it up with a crane on Thursday, put the rudders in and put the dagger boards in and launch it and put it in the water.
And what's the most exciting thing for you that you're doing this in Chicago, a place that you live, a place that your wife's from, first time in fresh water? What does that mean to you?
Oh, it means everything. It's so awesome to have the home crowd here behind us. Obviously we have a lot of friends and family coming in for this event to watch, and it's really special to be representing, Oracle Team USA in Chicago, a place I lived for 6 years. And, it's really cool so that we're going to have that home crowd behind us. And, we're going to hear everyone cheering for us come racing on Saturday.
Very cool. Well, Chicago will be your last and best chance to see the Cup and the boats and the racing and the spectacle of America's Cup up close and personal. And for more, visit acws-chicago.americascup.com. We'll put that on our website and Facebook page as well. And again, my thanks to Todd and Matt Cassidy. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight, and best of luck next weekend.
No problem. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. My conversation with astronaut Buzz Aldrin next on 720 WGN.